You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 149. And my guest on the show today is Karen, having her dream interpreted. Now, if this is the first time you've listened to The Dream Show, or you've only listened to a couple, 3 out of 4 of our shows, we have a guest on the show. So what that means is that somebody volunteers and says, I'd like to be on your show, I'd like to ask you about a dream. We Skype or phone you, and we record you telling me the dream and me interpreting it. Now, we've just done this for Karen, and there's only one rule, and it is that if you're a guest on the show, you don't tell me anything about the dream until we start recording, because I am assured that our listeners, that's you, enjoy listening to the dream for the first time and enjoy listening to me hearing the dream for the first time too as we work through it. So Karen is my guest. We've just finished recording. It's a beautiful dream. It's got some common dream themes in it that some of you will relate to, and it's got a lot of really unusual things in it as well. She's a very engaging guest. You're going to really enjoy it. So have a listen. Just before we go in, the websites, in case you've happened upon this podcast without coming through the websites. If you'd like to know a little bit more about me or about your dreams, go to www.dream.net.au or go to my blog at janetheresa.com, that's Theresa without an H, or to my dream store at janetheresaanderson.com, where you can buy ebooks, books, book a consultation, book training, all kinds of things. There's also lots of free resources at my website. So, or find me on Facebook, all over the place. But right now, I'd like to introduce Karen and her dream. Sit back and enjoy. Welcome to The Dream Show, Karen.
Hello, thank you.
How's your day been today?
It's been great. It's been busy, and it was lovely to have a bit of rain, finally.
Yeah, doesn't it? Yeah, because everybody listening, Karen's in Brisbane. We're in a similar neighbourhood, and it's been wonderful having this rain, actually smelling all the flowers and the trees. It's beautiful, isn't it? Getting that lovely smell after quite a bit of a dry season. Mm. And has your dream life been drought or?
No. My dream life is very rarely is always very full and very prolific.
Good, that's fantastic. That's what I like to hear. So, as usual, I have no idea what a guest brings to the show. So, over to you, Karen, with your dream.
Okay, then. So, in this dream that I had a couple of nights ago, I entered a huge room that was under my house. And it was predominantly a library, but it was also filled with old furniture and other eclectic treasures and antiquities. There were some other people with me, but they weren't recognisable, so I'm not sure who they were. And we were looking along the shelves at the books, and they were sort of dusty and unused, and or hadn't been used for a while. Once again, I had a lucid moment in this dream, and I wondered why I never used the room. And I thought about how my husband in waking life always dreamed of having a library in his home, and here it was sitting idle and hidden. And I wondered if it was the people who had the house before us that had created it, or the ones before them, or before them. And then as I was leaving the room, saying to leave the room, I lamented waking up in the morning and knowing that the room would not be real. And I wished I could stop dreaming, because I have a lot of dreams about extra rooms. And I wished I could stop dreaming about them all the time, because I thought it's so disappointing waking up in the morning and they're never there, and they're always these amazing rooms. Anyway, so I got to the door and Michelle Pfeiffer was there, and she was talking very fast, and she was young and she was agitated about something. And then in the next instant she was older, and she was about my age, so 50s, and she seemed to be acting in a movie that I was watching, but I was on the set watching. Mm-hmm. And I noticed I was looking all over her aging face. Then there was a male actor who appeared as he was when he was young, but then he didn't change too older for some reason. And that's all that bit was. And then I went back upstairs to the main part of the house. And I was just with some people from work, and we were just sort of hanging around the house. And then I had a lady that I work with that I like a lot, and she was settling down to sleep in my lounge room. So I grabbed her by the hand and I picked her up, and I just helped her up and took her downstairs to my daughter's room, one of my daughter's rooms, to sleep. And then some very loud music came on. I was running all over the house trying to turn it off, but I think that was actually my alarm coming on, you know. And then April came upstairs, that's my friend from work, and she was wandering around the house and she was admiring the house. And I introduced her to Warwick, my husband, and they weren't particularly interested in each other. So then I pointed out to Warwick a forest track that was through the window of our dining room, that led up steeply, mm-hmm. And I couldn't wait for us to explore that track. And then again, I was thinking, why do these things keep appearing that are just on my, you know, just in my periphery, and I don't know about them, and, you know, where do they come from? And so anyway, so through the window there was a sort of an outside dining room. It had two mismatched round tables and chairs that I didn't like very much. And then I went outside to explore the track, to go up the track, to just to see what was up there. And one of the tables was actually now an old fly screen that was standing up on its own in midair. And then I discovered the track went nowhere interesting. It just went up to the street in front of the house. And it was just a thoroughfare for children mainly, getting between the street and the beach, which was at the back of our house. So I walked down to the beach with April, and it was very crowded. And in the distance, I saw my father, as he was in about the 1970s, as a young man, putting his towel down and taking off his shorts and laying down in the sand. And then I told April we'd bought the house where we had our old family holidays. That's why I'd chosen that place, because I had such good memories of the old family holidays. Mm-hmm. It was very nostalgic. So we walked up to the next area of the beach, and I saw Dad in the distance again, but now at the same age. And in this area of the beach, it was very calm, like a bay, and with lots of people again. However, my dad and me and Warwick, we all prefer surf beaches, and I just sort of made a mental note of that, walked past, and there was a dad, just an unknown dad in a car, and a baby screaming. And I kind of like poked my head up and just to try and look in the car. I couldn't make out anything, but I could sort of vaguely see he was just changing the baby's nappy, and there was nothing to be concerned about. And then I just walked back into my house. That was it.
Wow, fantastic recall.
Yeah, so, well, it didn't actually start in the library. I'm sure it started before that, but that was where I remember it from.
Mm. And lots of aging, young and old contrasts going on there, as well as the extra space. So when you first saw that forest track from the dining room, and at first it was like, oh, you know, why do these things keep coming up on the periphery, and where do they come from? And it was really exciting, and you couldn't wait to explore it. Were you disappointed when you found out that it was only a short thoroughfare to the beach, or how did you feel?
When I walked onto the track, it was nothing like what I had seen. It changed. Mm. So once I walked onto the track, it completely altered in its appearance.
Mm. So there was what you're saying in a sense is there was a difference between the kind of vision of this exciting, wonderful thing, and then actually getting in contact with it. I was like, oh, is that all it is?
Yep.
That kind of feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yet it actually led you to the beach, although it was the wrong kind of beach. It was a calm beach, not a surf beach.
Yeah, with lots of people.
With lots of people. And then when you got there and you were reminiscing with April about saying, oh, we built the house here because, you know, the family holidays, that was a good feeling that you had on the beach there, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And I even said the word St. Leonard's. And it's funny because we only ever had one holiday there and I don't even remember it.
How do you know you had a holiday there then? So your actual house that you live in now has got nothing to do with being a holiday house that you once lived in. This is totally a dream house in the dream.
Yes, that's right, because I don't live near the beach. And,
And St Leonard's, you know, you say, oh, it was the only family holiday house that you had, that you went to, and you don't remember it. What have you been told about that holiday? Or what was the essence of St Leonard's that's kind of sitting in your mind?
I just don't remember much about the holiday. I just remember that it was a really nice place. I think maybe that was one of my first recalls. I don't know. I remember it with good feeling. I think I liked the place itself. I liked that little beachside. I just remember liking it as a beachside spot. You remember that series that was made many years ago, Sigrid Thornton, on it called Sea Change?
Oh, yes,
that's
I do.
It was made at St Leonard's as well.
Well, that's probably a key.
Could be, Sea Change.
Sea Change, the program and the word that's now found its way into everyday life, is about people who have had enough of the city and decide to leave the city and go and live usually in some quaint little town by the sea and have a sea change with the idea of being a bit more laid back, being less stressful, having a complete change of life, those kind of feelings. That was,
And often is where people have had childhood memories of, I think.
So they've had some kind of feeling of, oh, I'd like to leave the city now and go back to a place that I've got happy, nostalgic memories and have a sea change.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
But in my waking life, I have no desire to do that.
No, of course not. Yeah, but of course dreams are symbolic. So, you know, there's some essence because St Leonard's, because one of the things that you're thinking when you're talking about St Leonard's is, oh, that's where the Sea Change TV program was filmed. And you've got a reference to filming and movies in here as well. There's a sense there of it may or may not represent your thoughts or feelings about having a sea change. You know, particularly that feeling of getting back in contact with your father at the end of the dream, that 1970s kind of feeling. It's like there is an element of nostalgia in your dream that that you're thinking, oh, you know, maybe I want to, you know, because there's also aging in your dream, people being young and then older. There's a sense of, oh, maybe there's something about my youth or nostalgia that I'd like to get back in touch with, but in a new way and take it forward. I mean, that's the essence of a sea change. It's not to go back in time. It's to go back to a place that feels good and move forward from there. So there's that kind of feeling in the dream at the end anyway. So I'm going to jump about as I always do. And before going into the big library and why you often have the dreams with rooms, which I really want to get into, I just want to go to April, your friend from work, because she plays quite a prominent part of the dream, and ask you which three words you would use to describe April's personality or approach to life.
She's a very forthright person. But she appears, and I don't know her very well at all, but she appears to be very caring and very sort of a strong, forthright, but very caring person.
That's two. Are strong, I guess.
Strong,
forthright and caring. That'll do. You said something really interesting there, and I'd just like to drive it home for people listening in. Sometimes I'll say to people about a character in the dream, or which three words would you use to describe their personality? And they'll start off and say, well, I think, I don't really know, but I think she's, I don't know, just like you did there. I imagine she's caring, but I don't know. What's really important when you're looking at a dream is not what the person actually is, it's how you view them and what you think about them and what you feel about them. Because you know, when your judgmental mind is switched off and you're asleep in a dream, that's what's taking over. Your dreaming mind is going, oh, good symbol for forthright or caring or whatever. I know it's so-and-so. So whether or not she is caring or whether she would think of herself as caring doesn't matter. It's one of the labels that you would put on her that helps us to understand the dream. So you like her in waking life, and in the dream she's quite forthright. Now, you said, you know, I said three words to describe a personality and approach to life, and you said forthright but caring. You inserted that careful but. So, you know, so what you're really saying is that it's kind of, you feel it's difficult to be forthright and caring. It's almost like, well, they, how can a person be forthright and caring? She's forthright, but she's caring. Huh. Mm. To you and to some people listening in, that's like, how can you be forthright and caring? And other people are listening in, they'll be going, yeah, you can be forthright and caring. I don't have a problem with that. So that little word, that little B-U-T, came in there to suggest that one of the issues that, whether in this dream or in life, you may be trying to work through at the moment is how to be forthright without losing a sense of being caring, or how to be caring but also forthright, how to marry those two things together, because they seem to be a little bit conflicting in you. And yet when you look at April, you admire her. So it's almost a sense of, well, look, there's someone who can be forthright and caring, who can put those things, two things together, you know. So there may be a part of you that's looking to actually be able to be both of those, rather than feel that you can be forthright and that may mean that you feel that you're lacking showing empathy and caring, or that when you're showing caring, you may be being less forthright than you would prefer to be. So, you know, there may be some thing about putting those two together. So I should really, just before going to that potential, also ask you the same question for Michelle Pfeiffer, the three words that you would use to describe her personality or approach to life.
Goodness. Hardly on my radar, really.
She comes up in a lot of dreams. You have no idea the number of dreams where Michelle Pfeiffer makes an appearance in that I end up interpreting, but anyway.
I think it's just her looks. She's just so unusually beautiful. But I really don't know. I just don't know.
That's okay. I think you've got it there with unusually beautiful, actually, because in the part of the dream where she features, she goes from being young to being older.
Yes,
she actually ages, yeah.
It was very much a physical thing that I was looking at. I was not at all interested in what she was talking about.
Mm.
In fact, the words made no sense. It was just me looking at her face.
Yeah. And how did you feel when you were looking at her face when she was older?
Oh, I thought, oh, you've aged quite well. You're still pretty cute, you know, pretty lovely.
Because she was unusually beautiful.
Mm.
And unusually beautiful people can do that.
Mm.
So there's a sense there of Michelle Pfeiffer representing unusual, unique beauty, which, of course, we all have, at least below the surface, if not on the surface as well.
Yeah.
So I just want to just leave all those things hanging at the moment, go back to the beginning of the dream, because you said that you quite often dream of having of dream houses which have extra rooms, and then kind of being disappointed when you wake up because they're not there.
Mm.
And quite often it's quite a common dream theme that a lot of people will have, and it will often come up remembering, everyone listening in, that the dream reflects the last one or two days. So that's what the dream is doing. Your dreaming mind is processing the last couple of days, trying to make sense of it all. So each time you have a recurring dream theme, it's because there's a recurring theme in your waking life that you're trying to make sense of. And there's often this feeling about having extra rooms in your house, when it's like, there's more to me than I acknowledge when I'm awake. I've got, there's extra room, there's extra space, there's more of me, there's more potential than I acknowledge when I'm awake. And when I'm asleep in my dreams, it's like my dreams are saying, look, if you were a house, you're actually much bigger than you think. You've got all these extra room to do whatever it is you'd like to do. Or you've got all this room, why don't you do something with it? So in a sense, the extra rooms are often what we don't acknowledge about ourselves during the day. And while we're asleep and dreaming, there's a sense of, oh, there's so much more. There is so much more. Now, it's wonderful, I think, that there's so much more when you're looking at your dream being about the sea change, in a sense. It's like, I've been through all this stuff, whatever it is, and I'm ready for a sea change. I'm not, you know, you're probably not ready to leave our beautiful city of Brisbane and go to the sea, but in a sense, you're probably ready for, okay, now I'm ready for something more. And your dream is going, yes, well, there is more. And, you know, you're questioning your dream, but where did this come from? So there's a sense of, you probably have more potential, more skills, more talents, more room to do or be than even you have ever understood. And you don't know where it's come from or why, you know. We don't actually really often need to know where we've got our wonderful skills and talents from. We just need to go, oh, wow, can I really do that? That's great. So at the beginning of your dream, it's a sense of the library under the house. It's old, it's eclectic, it's full of antiquities. It's got shelves, it's got books on it, which are a bit dusty because they haven't been used for a while. So the moment you go under the house, if the house symbolizes you, then under the house will tend to be, it may be what's more unconscious, what we push down. In our Queensland, Brisbane, Queensland environment, under the house is often where we store a lot of stuff, isn't it? Have you got the kind of house where you storage spaces under the house?
Yes.
This
is quite different, this space.
It's been made into a library, yeah. So there's that sense, though, you know, in our houses, underneath is where we have all the stuff that we've often put away. And I'm making a big point of it because a lot of our European and American listeners will think of the attic as the place where you store stuff. So it's kind of,
yeah.
In Australia, we tend to do that under the house. So there's that sense again of stuff that you, Karen, have either got in your unconscious or stuff from the past, like it's dusty, that you haven't used for a while, that you're just beginning to acknowledge. So books, you know, knowledge, information, eclectic antiquities. So we've got the antiquities feeling again, this old and new, young and old. So it's that feeling of the beginning of the dream being the situation. Oh, there's so much more to me. And do you know, there's all this knowledge or information, there's my particular eclectic nature that I haven't really explored for a long while. It's got a bit dusty. How come I've never I've been wanting this for so long. I wonder why I haven't really brought this into my life now. When I wake up, it's not going to be here. How am I going to feel about that? So it's that sense of touching in your dream something that is eclectic and wonderful that you used to be a little bit in contact with and yet you would really dearly love to bring into your everyday life. And straight after that, you've even got Michelle Pfeiffer come in, who is unusually beautiful. So it's almost like unusually beautiful isn't a big stretch from eclectic either. You know, it's like a bit of all these unusual things put together. And she has that face in your dream, which goes into her older 50s, and you're looking, you're thinking, yeah, she's still beautiful, that's good. So again, it's that it's essence of bringing something from the past that's been, in a sense, abandoned or forgotten up into the present. And what way do I bring this into my life so far? I'm going to keep going, but are we going along the right tracks, Karen?
Yes, that's great.
Okay, that's lovely. I love next that you bring in the male actor and he doesn't get older.
No.
Damn men.
Yeah, that's fairly obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a wonderful cliche that even though they get older, they get more attractive. It's a cliche. It's not true, but it is. But it's not. Anyway, in a dream, of course, you know, you may be exploring that feeling, but also in a dream, everyone and everything in a dream represents an aspect of yourself. And often the male side in the dream will represent your male side in life. So what is your male side? It's your yang as opposed to your yin. It's the way you approach your outer world as opposed to your inner world. It can be your left brain, your logical, let's make sense of this, let's analyze everything part of yourself as opposed to the more intuitive, holistic, spiritual point of view. So there's a sense of, by your male actor staying young, not aging in the dream, there's a sense of you perhaps feeling that the way that you deal with the world out there or the way that you can analyze the world, there's nothing aging. You're quite happy with all of that. You're quite happy with, yeah, I feel a bit like an actor sometimes maybe, but I can go out and I can do all that stuff. This is more about the inner journey, the female. The greater potential.
Yeah.
And I feel that's why April then comes into the dream, because at that point it's like, well, What does April represent? She represents something that you admire, which is someone that can be forthright and caring together. So there's a sense of, yeah, this inner potential that I, Karen, really want to start developing more and hang on to and bring into my waking life is a sense where I can be both caring and forthright, because in the past I've tended to think, well, you know, perhaps because there's been actors in this dream too, that I can act forthright or I can act caring, but I actually want to be both of these and bring them together.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah. That's really lovely. So it's lovely that, therefore, that April is quite happy and at home and ready to settle in your dream house, because that part of your character is beginning to... There must have, in the couple of days before this dream, Karen, been a sense of, maybe I can put forthright and caring together. Maybe I can begin to feel settled with this. And you even give her your daughter's room in the dream. So, you know, you found a space for her. What does that daughter represent for you?
People say we're very alike. I don't know. She's the one that's left home. I don't know whether. I took her there because it was an empty room. You know, it wasn't used anymore.
Oh, well, there you go. I'll just play that back to you. It was an empty room. It wasn't used anymore. So it's like the library under the house isn't used anymore. You know, the extra rooms that you wake up to that aren't there. And I've been saying, like, sometimes this potential is something that you used to have or be in touch with, but it's not used anymore. So there's that sense too. Also, of course, your daughter, if people say that you're a bit alike, it's also maybe represents your younger self. So again, putting April, it's almost like, okay, this aspect of my inner female world that I used to be in contact with, I've kind of left behind and I don't use anymore. If I can bring forthright and caring together, I can. I can take up residence, I can make this work for me.
Yep, that makes sense.
And I think that's why, you know, then in your dream, we get this first really wonderful, like almost the first bizarre symbol that comes in, at least the way you painted the picture, the way that you saw the forest track, it was like, oh, this forest track, you know? So it, to me, when you said the forest track, it was almost like that was a kind of a female, creative, colourful, a touchy-feely, emotional, this could be leading somewhere kind of feeling.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I had such expectations of it.
Yeah.
It was just amazing.
And yet, in the dream, it was disappointing at first glance.
Once I walked on it, it was really disappointing.
So if you look back over life and say, you don't necessarily have to name what they were, but have there been things way back in the past that you got excited about that were kind of about your potential, your talents, your skills or whatever, that you got really excited about that seemed adventurous and inspiring, but that when you actually set out on those tracks, the everyday practicalities of them were disappointing?
Oh, yes, lots of things. Lots of things, and then it's the frustration at not being able to, you know, feel like you can't achieve the potential, and that you put your limitations on it, and then it becomes so much heavier and more complex, doesn't it?
Takes away the magic of the beautiful forest track or the vision that you how you imagined it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's definitely the key of the dream, and we're going to get into that, and we're going to. We're going to bring the magic back, so that's all good. So what your dream was really doing there was it got to the point of saying, okay, maybe you can put forthright and caring together and open up this new space. So straight away, it's like the first objection from the unconscious, excuse me, no, forest tracks, no, once you get on them, it gets disappointing, it gets frustrating, as you say, your limitations come in. So that's why that then comes up in the dream next to remind you. And there's a sense there, as you've got the mismatched tables and chairs, that something that should be matched and balanced isn't quite working.
Yep.
You know, sometimes mismatch can be eclectic and interesting, and sometimes it's not.
No, this wasn't. And then it turned into some fly screen, which was
weird. And what did you think about the fly screen table?
Well, it wasn't a table. It had ceased to be a table. So it completely, just the object completely changed, and I walked past it and just said, right, okay, that's, what the hell is that doing there? Just standing up on its own, an old fly screen.
So what feeling did it give you?
Just how bizarre.
How bizarre, because it wasn't doing any function, was it?
No, it was dusty as well, and it's very strange. You just walk past it and I guess thinking, another thing that's not supposed to be there, or, I was annoyed. It annoyed me that.
It annoyed you it was there. I mean, a fly screen, I guess in practical terms, only works if it's inserted into an open space within a house, i.e. a window to stop flies coming in.
Yes.
But a fly screen just kind of standing on its own out in nature.
Yes, that's right. Well, actually, it was just on the sort of deck, this landing area, but it was like something else that was in the way that wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah.
It was just a pointless thing. That's kind of what it seemed to represent, like something sort of pointless that was just in the way.
And it certainly was that. It was pointless because it had no functionality standing there.
Yeah.
But if you actually look at a fly screen, if it was in its functional space, it's there to limit what can come into the house.
Mm.
It's a screen. It screens things out. And we usually have a fly screen for good reason, because we don't want flies and mosquitoes in our houses annoying us and irritating us and biting us. And you were irritating seeing it in the wrong place in a way. So there's a sense there of something, particularly because you said earlier, Karen, that, why is it that when you go out on a wonderful, magical forest track, it becomes it becomes irritating and frustrating, and in a sense, you said it, you reference your limitations come in.
Yep.
Right. So that fly screen may have been there to represent limitations. You're screening out what you sometimes screen out, particularly because you were irritated. It was misplaced in the dream. It's like, what's that doing there? So to me, it may have been drawing your attention to, you're on a forest track, so you're going to do your thing now, and you're going to add a screen, you're going to limit, you're going to block things out. So in a sense, it was really good to see that and be irritated by it, because it was like, well, it's something you walked past in the dream.
And it was also something that, because we don't have fly screens here in Brisbane, much you sort of let everything in, don't you?
Yeah.
And but it certainly reminded me of my childhood, like of like a 70s fly screen and so did the table and chairs. They were kind of once again like back to the 70s. When I was a child, that's what that furniture looked like, and the fly screens reminded me of, I guess, at home. My old childhood home, and fly screens on the houses. Where we grew up.
Yeah. So that's really an astute point, given that where you went to in the dream straight after being annoyed with the fly screen was to the beach and seeing your father as he was in the 1970s. Yeah.
And to blame.
Yeah. So if you look back at the 1970s and your father, without putting any great analysis in it, what's the connection between your father, the 1970s, and limitations on your dreams, limiting the limitations that you feel that you put when you have a wonderful vision and you go out and it just becomes difficult or boring? What's the connection?
I think that'd take quite a bit of thought, because I have a really good relationship with my dad. I wouldn't be pointing the finger at him as such, but something about that time, I guess, girls in the 70s or something, I'm not sure.
That sounds like it might be pertinent.
Mm.
Mm. So if we look at girls in the 1970s, or you in your 1970s, where would you feel the limitations were for you, pitched when we're talking here about potential and reaching your potential?
Probably because the girls were still fairly firmly stereotyped as not, I guess, achieving what men were achieving at that stage. I think at the time it was still, you know, it wasn't equal pay, and it wasn't, it was all sorts of, I think the feminist movement was just starting then. Not starting, but I remember feeling like a pretty little girl that was, you know, just doesn't really matter if you don't achieve too much in a career or a, you know.
Yes.
You don't have to be too ambitious.
Yes. And how do you feel about that now, about ambition?
Oh, well, it's, you know, it is, it is a, certainly created its hurdle for me, yeah. You know, it's always there.
So then it may trickle through as you think about this, Karen, but that would seem to be pretty in line with the dream, that sense of, you know, we can be in our older lives, we can be so wise, and we can say, well, of course this is an issue, of course I can do this, of course I can do that, you know, this is the way, you know, the world has evolved, this is what it's like to be a woman, you know, in this century. But our early programming still gets stuck in there. And so in a sense, there's probably some feeling of, you know, as a child, as a young girl and a woman in the 70s, there was that feeling of, oh, there's dreams, there's visions, there's forest tracks, there's extra rooms, there's potential, there's things I could achieve. But there are these damn fly screens in the way, because women shouldn't be like that. And maybe women shouldn't be forthright and care. If you're forthright, maybe you can't be caring. As a woman, should I be caring? Or these kind of issues coming in there as well. So there's a sense of, if this is a time in your life where metaphorically you're ready for a sea change, you're ready to really, like, now I want to bring this extra potential, I want to wake up and I want the forest track to be real and exciting, I want to step on it, I want it to happen for me, I want it to keep the magic, to keep the inspiration, I want to be able to reach down into that eclectic, wonderful store of wisdom, my library below me, and bring it into my everyday life. And I want to be able to do all this without feeling that I'm being limited by some early programming in me that says that women don't need to do that. Just be pretty, okay? Just be nice. Just be caring. Don't be forthright. And I like that at the end of the dream, you know, it's, you reach a calm bay, but you actually prefer the surf. You prefer a bit of excitement, Karen, at the beach.
Yes, that's right. A few waves crashing into me, and it was funny because it was certainly the three of us, you know, my husband, me, and my dad. You know, we all like a good surf beach, good toss around in the waves, you know.
So is that part of what, if you were anticipating a sea change now, is that more of what you actually want to bring in, a bit more surf, metaphorically, a bit more tossing around, a bit more less calm and more action?
Definitely. Yeah.
So you got more than enough calm in your life. You want more?
Oh, well, actually, no, I don't. I think, you know, it's good to have the, you know, not too much of one or another, really. It's, it's just having a mixture of things, isn't it? And just having things to look forward to, and challenges, and feeling motivated and excited about things.
And I think you summarised a lot of things really beautifully there, Karen. You know, in essence, you're saying it's the balance. You know, and on the one hand, as you mentioned, you said they're excited, and, you know, you gave a really positive, and motivated was the word you used, motivated. I'm thinking of the forest track. Yeah, you want to feel motivated and all of that. But you also used the word challenge. I want to feel challenged. You know, and if you set off on the forest track, you know, the vision of something you want to achieve, and it's all too easy, and we just wake up and we've, you know, oh, I've just lived the dream. But just like that, you kind of miss the challenge part of it.
Yep.
You miss the surf part of it.
And
that can be boring too, because, you know, life isn't really about the old arriving, is it? It's about the journey and what you learn along the way. So you're right. It's about getting the balance right. So maybe in a sense that's part of your dream. It's how do you get the balance, not only the balance between being forthright and caring, the balance between male and female, but the balance between having the vision of the potential that you'd like to achieve, the excitement of the forest track, but not with the moment you step foot on it, the limitations coming in are being boring and hard work. It's getting the balance. So that's neither the one nor the other. It's somewhere in between.
That's very interesting.
So if you look at what we've looked at so far in the dream, because we're probably kind of running out of time, how would you relate that to what's happening in your life now, and or which bit would you pick out as seeming the most pertinent to what you may be conflicted about at the moment?
What I was really interested in the dream was the fact that I had that lucid thought that I thought, even while I was in the dream, I was thinking about other rooms that I've had in other dreams and thinking, you know, I don't know, you know, when I wake up tomorrow morning, these rooms aren't going to be there. And I felt that really unusual to have that thought that I knew I was dreaming while I was dreaming too.
So you're not often lucid in a dream?
No, not.
No, I mean, not many people are. It's a very rare point to achieve. I was just checking that was the situation.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that in the dream when you realised that you had both a waking life and a dreaming life that were both happening at the same time?
It felt completely normal. Mm. As I said, it was just that feeling of, oh, I have to wake up and it's not going to be there, you know. Those rooms aren't going to be there. You know, why do they... why do I keep dreaming about them all the time? So it was quite intriguing to have that.
Mm.
That's about all. And I can sort of think of the beach was not particularly significant in the dream, but like you said before, the track definitely was. That track really is firmly implanted in my.
Mm.
You know, I can still see it really clearly.
Mm. If that forest track was, I'm just back on the lucidity there. I think, you know, one of the lovely things you can do when you do get lucid in a dream is that, you know, even though you knew that you were going to wake up and lose the dream, there's that sense sometimes when you can measure both and say, well, if this dream feels so real and yet I know I'm going to wake up to my other real life, the waking life, there's kind of like both. Sometimes you can just find that point where they're both equally real.
Yes.
And that can give you that particular nuance, which is hard to describe, can be something that you can bring into your waking life and go, well, you know, you never know. If I could really touch that feeling of the extra potential and the extra room in my dream, it must at some level be here in my waking life for me to access and to bring that through. But if you just look at that forest track in your dream, and how long ago did you have the dream, Karen?
Oh, 2 nights ago.
2 nights ago, so it would have been processing a couple of days before that. What would that forest track have represented to you over the last 3 or 4 days? Is there something specific, a feeling of a dream that you would really like to, for once, set your foot on and make it happen?
Nothing's really popping up.
It doesn't necessarily need to be an actual physical thing. It can be a feeling or a...
No, I think it's just, like I said before, just to continue to have interesting challenges and desires too, like to have you know, knowing that there's exciting things to plan and to live.
Yes.
You know, into the future.
To plan and to live.
There's also I was thinking about studying something, and now that I think of it, it's probably got more to do with how I can expand, you know, myself intellectually.
So that works with the library, doesn't it? Right at the head of the dream.
Yes, that's right. It really does.
Mm.
It's all about, yes, it was very much about, should I study? What should I study? What do I want to learn?
So if we then take that thing, and I think you're onto it, Karen, that would have been the path, and then your question in your dream or the conflict in the dream is, yes, but how do I keep it exciting? How do I keep it as a plan? You know, you said to plan and to live. Like, you don't want one, if you keep something as the plan, your past experiences, the plan is exciting, but that once you start to live it, the life goes out of it.
Yes, and also things, maybe I've chosen things in the past that have been a little bit too difficult, or I've tried to take on the challenge too quickly without taking the steps along the way, things like that.
Yes.
And I get a bit... I get a bit lost, and I get a bit. I give up, you know. Mm. Give up a bit, not easily, but yeah. So it's actually, the more I think about it, it's more about developing a learning process or a learning plan. How to study, how to expand your mind, and to be able to comprehend some of the things that I'd like to comprehend.
Mm, which is a long journey.
Yeah, when you find things that you're really interested in, like for instance, dream analysis.
Yeah, I was thinking of that.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's not something you can learn in a few weeks. You've been doing it for so many years, and you probably still feel like there's so many parts of it that still, you know, that you that's how I feel. I just
absolutely.
How can I? How can you grow your brain? How do you grow wisdom and absorb learning and comprehension and understanding? That's what I was thinking about over the last couple of days.
And it's lovely that you said, how do I do that? And throughout the dream, you're questioning who created this, which is a short step from how did this happen?
Yeah. Is there a little pill that I could take that would make me smarter?
No. That's the kind of dream where you expect it to happen straight away. As you said, you've got to do it step by step.
Yeah.
You can't be a dream analyst overnight, or you can't, whatever it is. It's the learning along the way. And truly also, if you're studying in the way that that you seem to me to be describing there, I forget the word you used, but the picture I got was that you didn't necessarily want to follow exactly a formula that someone else had set. You wanted to discover things for yourself. Did I pick that up correctly?
Yeah, yes, I guess so.
Mm. So for that, you really it really is quite a journey.
Yes.
Because you don't just pick up the how-to book and go, oh, well, this is what I do then. You actually commit to a long, long journey without being disappointed that you don't get there straight away.
Yeah.
So then it's a matter, Karen, of looking back again. I know I keep going back to the 1970s, but it will occur to you later about comparing that feeling now about, the long learning journey, in a different way to how you've done it in the past.
Yeah.
And saying, well, what was my programming in the 70s? Obviously, you went to university, you trained and... because you were just talking now about a different intellectual journey, and clearly it's easy to know in conversation with you, you've already had at least more than one intellectual journey. You've done all of that despite being a child of the 70s.
Yes.
But obviously there's some limitation there back in the 70s, which is kind of in your way now, and it's a matter of shifting that, letting that go. And it's to do with somehow being forthright and caring, being allowed to be in the same package as well, and also allowing yourself to stay on that path. It can look like magic and excitement, but the moment you step on it, it is going to change. Some of the magic is going to come out of it before you've taken so many steps that actually the magic becomes better than you ever envisaged it would be in the beginning, because it deepens its magic. You become inspired once you really get into something. The first bit's really hard. You go, oh, I'm going to do this.
Yes.
But once you get into it and you begin to get rewards from being on that path, and you begin as a particularly intelligent person, which you are, and creative person, which you are, you begin to see new ways and get different perspectives and depths on the subject, it actually becomes more inspiring and more rewarding than the initial picture you had of it, in fact, staying on the path.
Yeah. Okay, that's great.
Okay. So we've got to do some dream alchemy before we go.
Okay.
and the best of dream alchemy is often done with either the weirdest dream symbol or the one that really has that emotional connection, and it has to be that forest track, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. What would you like to do with the? Have you got any ideas yourself about how you'd like to do some dream alchemy with this forest track? I have some ideas, but do you have some?
No, I don't.
Okay. I'll just explain to anyone listening in for the first time to this what dream alchemy is. We interpret the dream, and the dream is your dreaming mind's way of processing the last one or two days, trying to make sense of it, except that the logical part of your brain is largely asleep, and it's left to the illogical part of your brain to kind of try to capture what the last couple of days were like in a kind of weird strokes of the artist's brush, which is why we get surreal symbols and Michelle Pfeiffer coming in and things like that. It's all a bit weirded out. And then our task is to try to work out what the unconscious mind in our dream means when it says Michelle Pfeiffer or it says Forest Path. So we do all of that. And then when we come to dream alchemy, what we really want to do is we want to talk to our unconscious mind to change any limiting beliefs that we've got that are actually stopping us from being where we want to be. So in your dream, Karen, it's very clear that the forest track, as you saw it in the dream, was not going to turn out to be what you wanted it to be. It was going to be a disappointment. So we want to transform that forest track into something that's actually going to bring you wonderful rewards. Now, the dream alchemy thing is that we do either visualization or an affirmation or something. We engage with the symbol which your unconscious mind has brought up, which is the forest track. So we're engaging, you're going to talk to your unconscious mind by talking or envisaging changing this forest track into something wonderful. So what we're doing is we're taking a symbol that your unconscious mind has got, which is the forest track. Your unconscious mind has a symbol of, yeah, but wonderful things, they just turn out to be boring when you step on them, you'll be disappointed. And we're going to change that. We're going to transform that belief that you've got, that limiting unconscious belief that things are going to disappoint you when you start to do them. We're going to change that and transform that into a belief that says, when you're really excited about something, if you start the journey and you just stay on it and you go step by step and you go with trust and you keep going, do you know what? It's going to be even better than you imagine. So we want to transform that belief. And the way that we do that is by talking to the unconscious mind in its own language. We go to the unconscious mind, you know that forest track? You're wrong about that. Let's change the feel of it. That's dream alchemy. That's what we're going to do.
Okay.
All right. So we want to transform your forest track. And I just have one other question. We always want, when we do a dream alchemy, we also want to transform a feeling or emotion. Now, are we pretty spot on in wanting to put forthright together with caring, or is that not what you want to do at the moment?
No, not quite. It's more about confidence, I think, and embracing potential. Would
April be a good symbol of that, confidence and embracing potential?
No, not in this particular case.
Okay. Right, so we've got confidence and embracing potential. Now, can you think up something else in your mind's eye to actually bring up a feeling of confidence? In other words, pick some other area in your life which you're really confident about. Are you able to summon up a feeling and emotion of confidence?
What you mean, in some sort of area, some sort of place that I'm in? Or?
Yeah, if I say to you, Karen, close your eyes and summon up a feeling of confidence, will you be able to do that?
Yes, I can.
Okay, that's great. That's all I need to know. Okay.
Yes,
so,
I can.
But what I think I'll do is we'll get you to do a visualization for this dream alchemy, and we'll get you to actually just quite simply go back into the dream, see the forest track, step on it. We're not going to even mention any fly screens. They're not even going to be there. We'll just step on it. And as you step on it, you summon up this feeling of wonderful confidence, and we just walk. We're not running. We're just walking in a nice step-by-step fashion along the path, and as you walk, it becomes even brighter and even more beautiful than the forest track that you actually saw in your dream. So in other words, we want to get that sense that as you actually engage with the track, which is engaging with your potential, and you keep stepping and stepping and stepping, rather than it becoming disappointing, it goes the exact opposite. It becomes even more desirable, because you used the word desire before too, than it seemed in the dream. So maybe we can, when we do the visualization, like pump up the color or the feeling of the path. Will you be able to do that as I talk you through?
Yes.
Okay, so here we go. We're going to do this visualization to transform the unconscious belief that you've got, which says that when you get on an exciting path, that it's going to be really disappointing. We're changing that by doing this. So close your eyes, take 3 deep breaths. Okay, Karen, here you are in your dream and suddenly you're stepping onto that forest track. And the moment that your toes step on the forest track, you feel this amazing sense of confidence. Just pause, just close your eyes as you're on that forest track and feel that confidence rising up from the ground, up through your legs, all through your body, heart's fluttering, and yet you feel very steady. It feels very exciting, but very steady. And now just open your eyes and walking along the path, just one foot in front of the other. There's no hurry to get to the end, and look around you on this forest track. You can't believe it, but as you look, the colors are becoming more intense. Just take a moment to notice more and more magic appearing on this beautiful forest track. And as you look ahead, you're absolutely delighted to see that the forest track goes on and on and on, because what you really want to do is stay on this track and just live this beautiful, confident magic, taking 3 deep breaths. And how did that feel?
Felt great.
Good.
Yeah, it did. It was really, really good.
So do that, Karen, do that about 20 times a day for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
I kept it very short, and the 2 big things to remember. The one is the feeling of confidence, actually summon it up. Mm-hmm. And the other one is the feeling of just step by step. And I'm so happy with this journey that it's getting more and more magical as it goes. It's in the journey. Yeah. And that is, as we speak, that is reprogramming that limiting belief that you had into something that's actually expanding and beautiful and full of life.
Fantastic.
Well, thank you very much for being a wonderfully inspiring and young at heart guest on the Dream Show, and also young, a lot younger than me anyway. No, thank you. It's just wonderful volunteering to be a guest on the Dream Show, because everybody gets so much out of it and we all learn so much. It is dream analysis, and learning how to analyze dreams is one of those never-ending magical paths as far as I'm concerned. I love it, and I hope that you and everyone listening in does too. So thank you, Karen.
Thank you very, very much, Jane.
It's a pleasure. Are you one of the people who dreams sometimes about having extra rooms in your house? Quite a lot of people do. It's a very positive dream once you know how to look at it, isn't it? Or were you perhaps just listening and resonating with some aspects of Karen's dream or Karen's thoughts or feelings? I think, you know, there is so much to learn from listening to a dream being interpreted, in terms of picking up dream interpretation and analysis tips, picking up tips about dream alchemy, picking up just tips about how to approach a dream and begin to look at it. But I also feel that, you know, half the joy or the interest in this kind of thing is also just being a bit of a fly on the wall and listening to the kind of questions and thoughts and feelings people have about their lives. And it often resonates with what's going on for you. And, you know, we can learn and be inspired from other people like Karen through listening to things like this. So if you know people who you think might be interested in their dreams, or you know people who you think just might be interested in the kind of stuff of life that we're talking about with Karen, do please share the link. It's if you've enjoyed it, think how much enjoyment and help other people might get from it too. So thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. Our next episode, episode 150, will be due out on the 4th of April, 2014. And of course, if you want to listen back to all 149 episodes of The Dream Show, you can do that by going to my blog at janeteresa.com and clicking podcasts, or go to my website at dream.net.au and click podcast or click The Dream Show. It's easy to find and you can listen to all of those. You can also always listen to the last 10 shows on iTunes. And of course, you can subscribe on iTunes so that the latest show is always with you. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful 4 weeks. And maybe I'll meet some of you through consultations through the websites. See you soon. Enjoy and have lots of wonderful, inspiring dreams. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.